And with just the three of us here on this snowy Sunday morning, on the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, what we're going to do is read the three lessons, and I'll share the message with you this morning. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 58th chapter. Why have we fasted and you not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no notice of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek only your pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with the wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul writes, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. To you, my brother and sister, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said,
Amen.
I like the words inspired, inspiration, inspirational. These words are used by us all the time. We talk about that painting was a real inspiration to me, or the music was so inspirational, or I don't know what inspired the team, but when they came out in the second half, they sure were a different team. So we talk about people being inspired, but what I want you to know this morning is that you are inspired. We all who have been baptized and have faith in Jesus Christ are inspired. Let me explain just a little bit. The word inspired at its root literally means in-breathed or inspirited. And we use that just to talk about somebody that has a lot of energy or some deep insight or what have you. But all of us are inspired. Literally, we have the Holy Spirit within us because we're told that in our baptism, we received a spiritual birth from above. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And that birth from on high is a matter of a new life being given to us by the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to Titus, he says, "We were saved not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." That word regeneration, the word Genesis is in that regeneration. Genesis, a beginning or a birth. And so that in our baptism, there's a washing of a new birth, the Holy Spirit given to us. Paul will write to the church in Galatia, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." This too is connected with our baptism because earlier in that letter, Paul had written that, "And because, and you are all sons by faith, for as many of you that were baptized into Christ and have put on Christ." So God has sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts that makes us inspired. But here's something important for us to know, something that we're very confused about today, that because the Spirit of God is indwelling us, we still don't look within ourselves to discover the gospel, to discover wisdom, to grow in knowledge. And that's not what the Holy Spirit is in us for, so that we can just close our eyes and look within. Last Sunday, I talked about that being enthusiasm, looking for God within. God comes inside of us and does a work on us. He comes inside of us, and as the words I started out with, or at least I hope I did, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God." Why? That we might understand the gifts given us by God. The Spirit helps us to understand, but Paul talks about, "We impart to you a wisdom." The wisdom doesn't come from looking within. Paul starts the whole second lesson with, "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Paul's imparting wisdom. He's coming to us, speaking to us the very word of God. That is the source of our wisdom, and we listen and receive it, and the Spirit helps us to understand it. I think there's a big mistake today. It's not wrong to look within us, to know the intentions and thoughts of our hearts, but to confuse that with that being God speaking is saying too much. It's good to be in touch with our feelings, our imagination, our dreams, but when we look within, the voice that we hear basically is our voice. When we receive God's wisdom that's imparted, when we hear the gospel being spoken, when God's word instructs us, the Spirit is helping us to understand it, and it's changing us inside so that our dreams and our aspirations will be more in tune with this word. So it's not bad to be in touch with it, but we continue to look outside ourselves to the word that comes to us in the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of his word and the wisdom that's imparted through the ministry of the church to come and to create faith within us and to help shape us. That's why I think it's so helpful for us to be familiar with Luther's insight as we take a look at the third article of the Creed and start to understand the work of the Holy Spirit that is at work within us. You know the third article of the Creed. We could start to say it. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Luther's explanation to the third article of the Creed, which especially spotlights the third person of the Trinity, is, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding and effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. And here's a key part. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in true faith. The explanation goes on, but I want to stop there. And I want to look at those first two things. The Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts. He calls me through the gospel, the good news that all scripture points to and is made explicit in the New Testament, that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. The story about how God became incarnate, lived among us, was obedient and fulfilled all righteousness, died a death on the cross to atone for our sins, rose triumphantly from the grave, ascended to heaven with the promise that he would return and take us to be with himself. That is the good news, that apart from the Spirit in us, the world hears as foolishness, or as a stumbling block for the way they've already figured things need to unfold. But it's by God's Spirit that we recognize in that message is the power of God unto salvation. That's the Spirit's work as we are called by the gospel to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit enlightens us with his gifts. There are two gifts in particular that get focused, that are important to us, and that is our baptism, where the Spirit first is bestowed upon us and we're called by his name, and then the gift of Holy Communion, where we're sustained in Christ's forgiveness and with his life. In the early church, baptism was actually called an enlightenment or an illumination, and we have God working in a visible way through this sacrament, enlightening our understanding so we take hold of the gospel that comes to us by preaching. I think it's important for us to know, and this is a good formula, and it's why it's so important to be biblical and train our tongue to speak in the words of the New Testament. We come to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. Or to reverse it, it is the Spirit's business to help us to see in Christ, in his word, the truth and the way of salvation. And in coming to Christ, we have the Father revealed to us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, coming to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. Two chief gifts. But I started out by talking about us being inspired, literally having God within us, inspirited by the Holy Spirit. And there's the gifts of enlightenment and the gifts of being sustained, and then there's the gifts that we're also given that we can share with other people to manifest Christ's light among us. And we all have many gifts. And when we are willing to use our gifts, to His glory, when we recognize that what we have is from God, together sharing our gifts, the light of Christ is made manifest to the glory of God as a witness to the world and as edification among ourselves. But you might be tempted to say, yeah, I'm not sure I have any particular gift. There are a lot of gifts that I've recognized before, but I'm not sure I have gifts, but we all have been given gifts. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, now there are a variety of gifts, but one Spirit. There is a variety of service, but one Lord. There are many workings, but one God who inspires them all and everyone. And a few verses later in the 12th chapter, the Apostle Paul says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Every one of us has a gift, but we miss it. And we get hoodwinked because when we think of gifts of the Spirit, we think of those things that are spectacular. We think of those things that maybe are supernatural. We think of those things that are exceptional. We talk about the soloist who absolutely has an exceptional gift and it's a blessing to all of us. Or we talk about the orator that's just so organized and powerful in speech and is such a great teacher. Or the artist that inspires us so much. And these are more exceptional gifts. Or sometimes we even talk about supernatural manifestations, which I think even in this day and age, not at our beck and call, but occasionally you hear something like a healing or something miraculous that can't be easily explained. And that's what we think of, but we get hoodwinked and thinking those are the only spiritual gifts, and I'm not sure I have any of those. But all the gifts we have, the capacity to show empathy, a good listening ear, being able to embrace, to give encouragement, the gift of being a good parent, the gift of being able to share. We think, well, those are common, there's nothing exceptional, but where do we have anything that we have? Our very life and our very breath is a gift of God. And I think all people have been gifted, but do all people have the Spirit received in baptism and by faith to recognize that all that we have is from God? And the common gifts, all of us sharing our gifts, matter. Because they manifest Christ to the world and to the edification of the body. And who's to say that the common gifts aren't more important than the exceptional gifts? We praise God for all gifts, and we're moved by a solo. But as I put in my annual report, a young child does not need a mother who can walk on water, but a young child is exceptionally blessed to have a mother that can hug and be tender, who can nurse, who can provide and protect, who can read to their child, who can share the good news of God's love manifested in Christ for our salvation, who can read the scriptures to. That is more important to the child than an exceptional solo. We've all been gifted because we learned this morning that we all have been inspired, literally inspirited, with the gift of the Holy Spirit in our baptism. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.